weakest of all political demands is, give me something to vote for.
I'm occupying Wall Street because if you're not outraged, then you're not paying attention.
Of the economy.
I care deeply about what's happening to the country.
People are losing their homes.
I'm unemployed. I'm homeless.
My retirement literally embezzled.
Corporate banking behemoths rob the American people.
That ain't right, man.
This is Eve Silber, and you are listening to Occupy Wall Street Radio. Last week, New York City was visited by the Lakota Solidarity Project. They are on a truth tour throughout the Northeast. Here are some interviews I did with members of the project. I'm here with one of the Lakota elders. Could you tell us your name?
Zumilawabaga Imachapia. My Lakota name, one of my Lakota names is the Little Wise One Who Makes a Mark. My American name is Charmaine Whiteface.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Tell us what you're doing here on this trip.
We're trying to increase people's awareness of what's happening to our people back home, that we are experiencing genocide, and the elders keep trying every which way to get it exposed. It's just horrendous.
And home is Pine Ridge?
Pine Ridge Reservation.
In the state of?
South Dakota.
And what is going on there?
Genocide.
In terms of water rights and total destruction of your culture and the opportunities to continue as a culture?
Those are all part of it, yeah. But we're really our water is totally polluted with uranium and arsenic.
On the reservation?
All over the whole state.
The whole state.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, our treaty territory, which we want back, because then if we could get it back, we'll clean it up our way, you know, and then we can survive. But with it continually being developed, quote, natural resources, which are really a part of Mother Earth, being taken out of her, oil, uranium, gold, I mean, you name it, there's mining all over there. It's the waste and just the pollution from the processes is really hurting our people bad. We have the highest cancer rates in the country. We have high birth defects, high miscarriage rates, high heart disease, high diabetes. These are all caused by... we never had these before.
And this is definitely genocide.
This is genocide.
And the people who are living there are being killed by this.
Right, right.
And then in terms of the culture, the attempts to keep the culture alive, your language alive, that's another version of genocide
right.
that's being inflicted.
It's
and it's coming from within in some ways. Do you want to talk about that?
It's the colonizing.
Okay.
The colonizing, the colonizers have been there now with forced assimilation of our people for seven generations, for 150 years. And many of them never had the opportunity to be taught the language or had the opportunity to learn our culture, many of our own people. And so then they're the ones that are real easy to be used and real easy to fall into the dominant cultural patterns.
And they're the ones system. Who are very effective at gaining access to the money.
Oh, yes.
And being in charge of its distribution.
Right.
Is there anybody with whom you are in alliance that is in a position to distribute this money and make decisions? Are you totally outside of that box?
I'll tell you what happens. Once in a while, we'll have somebody get into the tribal council, and just like if you saw the movie, you would see where they talk about the drug abuse and how the tribal government is, you know, they're party of it. They're the ones that use the drugs. Well, we had a couple years ago, we had a woman that we elected into a council position because we knew her, and we knew that she would be good, and she got elected, and she was on the Judiciary Committee. They passed a resolution that all the Tribal Council and the Executive Committee, the President, Vice President, Secretary, Treasurer, would all be, they could do spot checks on them for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had, because she was on the Judiciary Committee, she could call in the police or whoever, you know, to do these spot checks right away. So she did one day at a council meeting. And a week later, she was dead.
Wow.
So that's why we know what's going to happen to the good people. I mean, the people you see on this film, we're all in danger now when we go home. We could be in danger here because we're speaking up against what the federal government has done to us and what the federal government has lied to all the white people that live in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming. That's still our treaty territory.
They've lied to them by saying what? What's the biggest lie?
The biggest lie was that they could go in there and live there. as a violation of the treaty. No, that treaty was for our use, our absolute and absolute undisturbed use and occupation. That's exactly the wording that it says. And it also says that if people want to come in, they have to ask us. We have to give them permission to come in. And that never happened. They forced us. See, Pine Ridge Reservation is really prisoner of war camp 344. And that's another thing that the American public doesn't know, that these reservations were created as prisoner of war camps, all of them, all across the country. But to keep the American public from really knowing what the federal government is doing to us, then they call them Indian reservations. How nice, we reserved this land for you, you know, like a hotel reservation. When all that time there, it was, no, to confine us into a POW camp, and that's what they are. I come from POW camp 344.
344. And yesterday you marched to the United Nations.
Yes.
And you were met by a representative there?
The only one that would meet with us was the head of security.
Huh, huh.
I mean, we're so dangerous.
Yes.
Us grandmas especially are so dangerous.
So the head of you made an appearance, the head of security came to you, identified himself?
Right.
And what else was said?
Well, we have a complaint written. We wanted to present it in person to Ban Ki-moon, the High Commissioner for Human Rights. I know the High Commissioner used their offices in Geneva. So it would be better to present it to Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General. Because we don't trust anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have good reason.
Yes, you do.
And the security said no, they had to take it. I mean, you know, what's going to be in a piece of paper that's so dangerous, other than the words that they might not like? And so, no, they said security had to take that piece of paper, and that was it.
And they made no promise to meet with you?
They said they would. You'd have to talk to Chanupa about that, because
okay.
I wasn't a part of that, you know. And my information would be secondhand, and I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody.
Sure.
If I heard wrong. But
it certainly wasn't an official UN greeting.
Oh, heavens no, not at all.
And if you had to ask for one thing to be the next step, what would you want right now to happen?
Our whole treaty enforced. That's the only way we can survive.
Is there a place where we can read this treaty in greater detail?
It's called the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, with the Sioux, the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, and the United States.
Has there been anything about your trip to New York that has surprised you?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
But I've been here before.
You've been here before.
Yeah.
Do you consider New York in any way different than the rest of the country and how it receives you?
No. We've been well received every place we've gone. Yeah. We'll see about Washington, D.C.
And the Occupy movement, does the word Occupy mean anything to you?
Oh,
as
yeah.
It means?
When the Occupy movement started, many of our people said, well, hey, they already occupy our territory. The United States government occupies our nation. And so we wanted to, you know, we had a difficulty with that because we're the bottom of the 99%. And we understood what that was about. But at the same time, Occupy, yeah, they're already occupying our territory, the U.S. government. And we want them to get out.
You are an occupied nation.
We are an occupied nation.
Thank you so much. And I wish for you anything good that can happen from this trip.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am here with Naomi. Naomi has been organizing this tour of the Lakota grandmothers throughout this Northeast region to make aware the issue of genocide happening to the people. What's going on today?
Well, first of all, we're really grateful to be in New York City and have a chance to meet the folks that have come out in support of the Lakota Truth Tour and the Lakota Solidarity Project. We're here in New York City to officially deliver a complaint of genocide against the United States and the state governments and the other entities that are continuing an ongoing genocide against the Lakota people, which most people are completely oblivious to. So we're in New York City to deliver this complaint and raise awareness so that no one around the world can say they didn't know. Today we're here just to share in a delicious lunch and share some stories with the Lakota elders. We'll share some stories just have a nice day in the park after a very intense day yesterday.
Talk about yesterday. Yesterday was the march to the UN. What happened there?
Well, first of all, you know, we had a great march yesterday. It was so exciting. I've been doing this work for 9 years with my adopted brother, Chinupa Guhamani. We've been doing this for 9 years. And so to see it realized, there were over 100 people at that march with the beautiful puppets. To have a march through New York City to the United Nations was just really, I had tears in my eyes almost the whole way.
How were you received along the way?
Well, by people that were along the route, you know, they were always really interested to know what was happening. And when they heard, they were generally very supportive. At the United Nations, though, we ran into a different scene. And we were told by at least 3 groups that they were working to get us a reception in the United Nations in Ban Ki-moon's office.
Previous to your arrival?
Previous to our arrival. None of that work turned into anything. We were given people who were not even there.
I heard the head of security met with you.
That's right. And so so we were forced to initiate a more formal process with the General Secretary's office, and we were met by their head of security, who wanted us to hand him the papers. Well, if you're aware of all the broken treaties and all the ways that this government and the white man has tried to ignore, marginalize, and subvert indigenous sovereignty on this continent, giving it to the head of the security just isn't good enough. And we have a way of doing things in Strongheart, which is the Lakota Warrior Society that I'm an adopted member of. We always get signatures. We always get the signatures of the people who say they're doing things. So we can always go back and we take pictures of them. We put them on the internet so that we can point out the people who are continuing to break the treaties of honor, the conversations of agreement that they make with indigenous people. We want to go up into that office. We want to meet with someone that's actually a real official with the United Nations and hand deliver that complaint.
And get a signature.
And get a signature.
Is there any chance that's going to happen on this trip?
It's possible.
What can people do to help?
Well, what we really would like for people to do right now is call the Secretary General's office in the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, and whatever number you have in the United Nations, and tell them they must meet with this Lakota delegation, that they must not continue to marginalize and disrespect this indigenous nation, because we have to remind them that the political marginalization, the continuing effort to disallow indigenous nations to represent themselves in international governing bodies is in itself an act of genocide. You push them over into the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues or the Committee for Racism. That's not good enough. These nations deserve a seat at the table to speak with their own voices and with their own languages about the issues that are important to them. The Lakota Solidarity Project, you know, we're just a little solidarity project over here, but we're helping to amplify those voices so that they can be heard, so that the Lakota people can be heard.
And there have been some recent events in Pine Ridge that have really escalated this cause?
That's right. Even starting a year ago, these grandmothers that are on the documentary Red Cry and others were starting to speak out with more urgency. And immediately, the retaliation and the blacklisting from government services that already existed began to escalate. You know, people, when they see the Oglala Sioux tribe government in the paper or on TV or wherever they see it, people think, oh, that's so wonderful. Look at this Lakota Nation representing itself. That's not the Lakota Nation. The Lakota Nation are these poor grassroots people, the traditional and full-blood people that can speak the language and still have their culture. That OST government, that Oglala Sioux Tribe government, is an illegal government that was imposed upon the Lakota people in 1934 by the U.S. That's not the real government. And so the people that are part of that government, there's some good people in there, But there's a lot of people in there that are just using it to fill their own coffers, their own bank accounts. They're using that money to fuel the drug trade and the bootlegging trade.
And they're not invested in the preservation of this culture.
Absolutely not. They're invested in the preservation of themselves. Let's not forget that way back in the 1800s, when the Lakota were placed on reservations, the U.S. government said, we must replace the Lakota culture with the exalting egotism of I, so that they say I instead of we. Now,
wow, that's all it takes, huh?
That's all it takes. So we always ask people to look at themselves.
Sure.
Are you speaking with the I term or the we term? Everyone speaks with the I now. That's colonization. The Lakota people want to do something different. Indigenous people all around the world want to continue to speak with the we voice. But this incessant colonization is just always chipping away at that culture of we. On the Pine Ridge Reservation and all the reservations, this system is what continues to destroy these the traditional Lakota people and elders. And so when they speak out in the we voice, that I government turns around. It denies them housing. It takes away necessary emergency services during the wintertime. They issue verbal threats and create psychological and mental abuse. When these people speak out at the meetings, they're threatened by security people and by the council members themselves. Just recently, about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, there was a grandma that went to the Oglala Sioux Tribal Council. She was speaking out very loudly to be heard. Later on, she was outside the council chambers, and an actual security guard for the tribal council came up to her and said, "You blanket-ass Indians need to get with the program. There's money for everyone. There's corruption for everyone."
Right.
These traditional people don't want corruption. They want to live free and be left alone.
Naomi, how did you get involved with this?
about 9 years ago, I met my brother at a gathering. And for some reason, I was able to earn his trust. And he found out I was an activist, because I've been organizing for about 20 years. And he said, "Hey, if you want a challenge, help me out." So I started working with the Lakota people.
You're from that area?
I'm actually from North Carolina. Well, I'm from Europe, and my people are from Europe.
Okay, you're speaking from the we.
Miri, it's in a day. My people are from across the water. But before I want to talk about... I don't want to talk about my story unless we have the time. But what I do want to say is... my brother and I were able to build a relationship of trust. Chinupa Guhamani is the traditional headman for the Chunte Tiza Kolekichie, the Strongheart Warrior Society of the Lakota Nation. Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, all the Rain in the Face, Gaul, all of these ancient warriors that we read about in history books. That's Chunte Tiza, Strongheart. These people fought to defend their nation. And so my brother's now the headman of that warrior society. It still continues, even in this modern world. And somehow I earned his trust. And he adopted me as his little sister, and adopted me into the warrior society, where we continue to work very closely together. But I have to say, people that might be listening, they go, "Oh wow, that's really amazing. She must really know that Lakota culture well. I bet she even speaks some of that Lakota language." No. We were able to build such a strong bond of brother-sister because I was decolonizing myself and finding my own culture that lived and lives still in Europe. I never wanted the Lakota culture. I never wanted any indigenous culture except the ones that belonged to me. That was the way that I could show integrity and respect. And through that bond of togetherness and trust, we were able to build this relationship that's led to what's happened today.
How long has this been?
9 years.
Wow.
This is 9 years in the making. And again, this is really just another beginning to another 9 years, and who knows where this is headed. Maybe the way that we're looking at the world through these colonized lenses, maybe that way of looking at the world has made us blind to some understandings that indigenous people still remember, that they still carry on forward. Memories, knowledge, understandings, whatever word you want to use.
And now imagination. What are you imagining could be possible here for us?
You know, Lakota people have tried so hard to get others, particularly white people, people of European heritage, because they're the string pullers of this Western society. They've tried so hard to get them to listen, to hear them. And we're so busy. We're busy deceiving ourselves. We're busy trying to run this dysfunctional world, trying to hide from this dysfunctional world, that we don't have the ears or the heart to listen to indigenous peoples. The Lakota people are asking non-natives to listen to them. They know the answers. They have the answers for their people. They know these things. They've lived there since time immemorial for their way of life. They just want people to listen so they can be free, so they can be left alone on their traditional land, so that they can heal their people. Those people that think, oh, if we can just get in there and give them charity or give them these things or that things, that's what will solve the problem. If they just had more money. Mm. Maybe if those government services just worked better. If they just had more technology. Then they'd be okay.
Well, and the film Red Cry is a great place to start to listen to this, right?
Absolutely.
Where can people see that if they missed the screening last night?
Well, we urge people to go to LakotaGrandmothers.org. There will be a link up to the Red Cry that will be posted on the internet. They can also order a DVD. The DVDs are free.
Great.
This movie is not for sale.
You're making it easy to be heard. People have to choose to listen.
That's right. All we ask is that people, you know, if they can donate $5, $10 to help cover postage and order more CDs, that's all we ask.
Naomi, thank you so much for taking the time to talk, and thank you for coming to visit us. Thank you for letting us listen.
Thank you for having us here. We're very honored.
Thank you. I'm here with Chanupa, who has been extremely active in this organization and in this march and in this effort to end the genocide of the Lakota people. And you have been a great professor to us on this visit. How has this visit been for you?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm very, you know, uneasy with it, uncomfortable. We met so much, you know, extraordinary people, but talking is one thing, but the doing never gets done. So we see how fast, you know, the state of New York offers its people that has so much population. Everybody's so fast here, they take no time to listen to anybody. Well, like I said before, man, talking is one thing, but doing is the other. None of them can do. If they do, they expect it to be done and then people to leave right away. Nah, that's not with us, with indigenous culture. We learn how to understand fairness and balance, and we're very calm in what we do. Just like the UN, we were calm, took these approaches to try to meet them openly. They lie. Bottom line, America teaches people to lie, so now other nations lie. That's not the people's fault. It's America's fault. Western civilization is that child that was born and bred outside on waters, and that same bipolar disorder is brought back in here. It's opposed in American people.
You were promised something, and it wasn't a surprise to you that they lied, but obviously a disappointment.
Yeah, it was a disappointment because they only wanted one grandma to sign the complaint and have a head of security guards take it in by the name of Matthew Sullivan. Told him, fuck no. Those are the exact words that I told him. If it offended him, so be it. Later on today, about 3.5 hours, he calls and tries to look at me in the sense where we can meet on a mutual level. Compromise. I'm not going to compromise for these grandmas. What them grandmas ask me to do is what we're doing. And if you can't take all four of them, then I'm done. That's it. We don't want nothing from you. And we're not going to give them, because that's all you do is lie. You can't put my grandmas first, and hey, fuck you, America. That's all I can give you. That's it. Plain and simple. They traveled a great distance to be here to show you how much they care about themselves. They know how to love each other. America has forgotten that practice. They don't know how to love anything. All they love and lust for is greed. And that's what you're going to have in the UN. I got to be over at the Southern Police Office. I'll take this up
with you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. I can walk with you if you want to talk a little more.
Come on. You coming over there?
Is there anything you still think you can accomplish on this visit here?
Yeah, more people will start mobilizing themselves, start putting heat on them. Just maybe before we leave, they'd wake up and meet with my grandmother once and for all. You know what's going to really happen?
Tell me.
They're going to wait for all these Mickey Mouse Indians to come in. All these cheese eaters, okay? And when they do, you're going to give adherence to them. You watch and see. Those are people that are sold out. I know what I'm saying. The real people, right here. But look what the grandmas.
You have been listening to interviews with members of the Lakota Solidarity Project. I'm Eve Silber. This is Occupy Wall Street Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM, New York. To help the Lakota Solidarity Project, visit LakotaGrandmothers.org. LakotaGrandmothers.org. Thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins, and our technical producer, Reggie Johnson. The email address for this show is OccupyWallStreetRadio@gmail.com. Visit the website at WBAI.org to hear archives of this show and all shows, and also to give to the station WBAI. Thank you.